take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Suri is here to answer all of your book questions.
Hey, Morena, Johnny, I sure am. I don't know if I can offer much help about ponies, but everything else.
Hobby horsing.
Listen, I'm going to rack my brains, but everything else I think I've got covered, so hit me.
Okay, well, myself. A question for myself. This is just me thinking about a gift to myself for summer. What is a good fantasy sci-fi novel I could pick up outside of, you know, like the foundational ones like Dune and Lord of the Rings? And are there any contemporary authors that are really doing something good in that space?
Yeah, there's a few really good ones that have come out recently. I don't know if you're familiar with like the Watchmen comics, but Alan Moore, who created them, has a new one out at the moment. It's got a beautiful cover, and it's meant to, he's got like a really great sense of like wit. He's like very clever, and I think if you're like a high fantasy reader, that's like perfect. It's got like adventure, so I think maybe something like that could be good. But really, there's like a lot coming out. Next year will be the release in January of Rebecca Yarros's new one. So she's got a trilogy, and her most recent one is going to be called Iron Flame, but there are two other books out.
Iron Flame.
Onyx Storm.
Onyx Storm.
But it would be a great time, I reckon, to get into the first two books. It's like very dragon heavy, so I think if you're missing your Game of Thrones fix, that's the one to get into.
Okay, we've got a text which has come through. Need a good book to give to my partner for Christmas. His favorite book is Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He loves music, plants, and dreams of the fall of capitalism.
Ah, sounds very cool. I reckon there's a few things that you could get him. The Creative Act, which is by it's like a really famous producer. It's like almost like it's like a mixture of music writing, memoir, but it's also like very like life philosophy heavy. I think maybe something like that could work. And then probably a book that I've really loved getting into recently, Olivia Lang's Garden Against Time. He's like anti-capitalist. I think he'd be really into it. Olivia Lang tried to like, she created this project for herself. She wanted to like rewild Stonewall, and she started by creating a community garden. But it's like about her experience of like creating something for public use and to reinvigorate the earth. But it also draws so much on like queer theory. It looks at Derek Jarman. It looks at the history of communal gardens, at the disappearance of communal gardens in lots of areas of England and America. So maybe something like that could be interesting. And also The Message by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Lots of interesting political ideas floating around in that one about anti-capitalism and anti-colonialism. So
have you got your mitts on that Matt Heath book? Matt Heath used to host Drive Up Here and also did a stint on Breakfast.
Yes, we do, actually. Yep. And that would be a great recommendation.
Who? I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind reading that over the summer. So maybe I'll put that on my list. How would you... who would be a good recipient of that particular book? I think what's called A Life Less Punishing or something,
yeah,
by Matt Heath.
That's right, A Life Less Punishing. I actually got a copy for my dad. Mm-hmm. He's someone who's like very reluctant to get into self-help, but I think because it's Matt Heath and because he draws like on Stoic philosophers a lot, I think that would be good. Yeah, I think it's a great dad or partner present for sure.
All right. Dad, rock. Okay, what else have you got for us? You have actually brought in a massive stack of books. So these just like, you say the top 10 picks? Series top 10 picks? Or decided on these books you've brought in? Looks like a lot of hardcover.
A lot of hardcovers. There are some beautiful hardcovers out at the moment. I kind of tried to go with like a books for every person in your life. Garden Against Time, the Olivia Lang, that's for your like very clever literary reader. You're like nervous to give them fiction because you don't know what they've already read. I think the Olivia Lang would be fantastic. My big crush, Stanley Tucci, has a new one. Sadly, no photos of the food that he's been eating, but like a really, really entertaining like diary of what he ate every day in the year. And of course, everything in it is delicious, from puttanesca, the kinds of white wines he's drinking, who he's eating with, Robert Downey Jr., a whole host of celebrities. I think like this is a really great Secret Santa book. It's like a little bit escapist. It's like very summery, and it's like really something that if you're not a big reader, you can dip into. So if you're like scratching your brains for like a Secret Santa gift for like a colleague or something, it comes in like a beautiful little orange hardcover with his stunning face on the front. So maybe Stanley Tucci could be good for someone you don't even really know that well, I think.
Excellent. Someone has just come through with this is actually a book that we covered a week or two ago, Tim Winton's Juice.
Oh,
someone has come in saying it's a great new read. I'm assuming you have the new Tim Winton.
We do indeed. We've got that's probably one of our highest selling books this year. It's really great, which is interesting because so often people like ask for recommendations for nice reads, and I haven't read Juice from what everyone has said, it's like dark dystopian and not a nice read, but really, really clever. If you're looking for that kind of vibe, there's a few good ones that have come out recently that really fit the bill, including Glyph by one of our most talented living writers, Ellie Smith. It's going to be turned into like a sort of like, it's going to be a companion to her next novel, which will also be called Glyph. Very confusing. But that's also dystopian. It follows like kids who've been displaced and kind of live this nomadic lifestyle. But as with everything, Ellie Smith and also honestly like Tim Winton, the writing is like very beautiful and just really sort of draws heavily from like, you know, political ideas that are currently in our culture. So yeah. That could be a good companion to Juice.
Someone's just recommended The Book of the New Sun by Gene Wolfe.
Ah.
Looks like something that was written in the 80s, a four-volume science fiction fantasy novel.
That sounds like a recommendation for you, Johnny.
No, it does, specifically to me. It's addressed to me, that text. So
nice.
All right.
Great recommendation. Not familiar with that.
Okay. Well, what else? That one, what have we got here?
A great New Zealand novel, non-fiction book by Hannah Tapiata, Atua Wahine, which is, another gorgeous cover. And it's just like stories, it's like creation myths and stories of like Māori goddesses. And, you know, it looks at, like obviously like the founding myths, but it also kind of connects them to like social phenomena happening in the Māori community today, how to like apply those principles in your own life. It's almost like, I feel like you could read it as like a self-help book, and you could definitely gift it to anyone who's loved stuff like Hine Moa Elders, Aroha. I think this would be a really great companion to that. Another great like little stocking filler. I'm kind of hoping, I don't know if any of your listeners have like a spare $37, but hey, I wouldn't mind being gifted this one. And then I brought two of my favorite novels of the year by a mile. The Imposium by Olga Tokarczuk. I think like I've probably reviewed every single one of her books at BFM every year that they've come out. She is far and away one of my favorite authors of all time. And The Imposium is like it's kind of like a response to Thomas Mann's 1920s novel, The Magic Mountain. And this is kind of like dark fairy tale, gothy, like it's people in a tuberculosis sanatorium in the mountains of Germany. And it's like super atmospheric and very dark and sort of all these surreal things start happening and it becomes really difficult to differentiate between what's real and what's not. And yeah, it's like it brings up so much about like the role of women in society in the 1920s and the 1930s, but like stuff that feels very applicable to now as well. I think if you have someone who likes like Mariana Enriquez or like, you know, other sort of like dark fantasy novelists, I think that Olga Tokarczuk is like a fantastic read and super literary. So that could be good.
All right. Graphic novels for 14-year-olds.
Ah, that's a really great question.
Do you have any recommendations?
The Oddball series is super popular, super funny, but Heartstopper, I think they've got 4 of the graphic novels out so far, sort of like graphic novels that explore queer romance in high school. Those have probably been our most popular. The illustrations are really great, the story is really great, and it's been turned into a Netflix show. But I reckon you should get your kid to read the graphic novels first for sure.
Got more recommendations for sci-fi coming through here on the text machine. Okay, what else? What else have we got? What else is in the pile?
James by Percival Everett, which just won the National Book Award not too long ago, maybe like a couple of weeks ago. It looks at like the story of Jim, who exists as like a totally marginal character in Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, but it breathes new life into him. So rather than being this side character who has really no personality, who's very much like a two-dimensional stereotype in the original works, Jim is making his own way, escaping slavery, and he's having all of these incredible dialogues with like American philosophers from like the 1800s, from the 1700s, with the founding fathers. Yeah, there's like a lot of Socratic dialogue for a book that's also really plot heavy. I think, but I will say, even though it sounds like super, super clever, which it is, there is a book club that meets at Time Out upstairs every month, and they've got about 20 members, and this is one of the most popular books in their end of year poll. So I don't know, I feel like it's definitely a book that fits the bill for a wide range of readers. I think even like mum and dad who might have like grown up reading Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, James might give them like a slightly different new perspective. That could be cool. Time of the Child by Niall Williams, set in the 60s in England, and it's like very much a Christmas novel. It's set during Christmas, which kind of reminded me, the book reminded me a lot of Small Things Like These by Claire Keegan. Niall Williams is also an Irish author. It follows a doctor who's like sort of been marginalized by his community a little bit, or has always stood apart, and Christmas is the time that brings him back in touch with lots of people that he fell out with. But he's like a really, really gorgeous writer. There's recommendations from people like Anne Patchett and Karen Joy Fowler on the front. He's like really great at writing drama and sort of fully fleshing out characters. And in that similar world, I didn't bring it with me today, but Elizabeth Strout's new one, I think Olive Kitteridge is like a super familiar name for like a lot of people. I think if you're looking for grandma, granddad, mum or dad, that could be a really great one.
I'm just smiling because this is a great text. Okay. Siri, help. I need a book for an 8-year-old who is deep into Egyptology.
Whoa.
Loves watching Nat Geo docs, so not too childish.
Oh, sick. That kid sounds so cool. Egyptology, damn. That is like super specific. We do have like, I don't know if this is like maybe quite right. There is a new book of Norse myths by Macmillan that they've just put out in like a gorgeous like Christmas white and red. But it's like, I wonder if it kind of straddles like a similar space. I think if your kid is really interested in ancient history and kind of like those foundational ideas that society is created on. Maybe something like that could be cool. And then I'm going to have to, can I think about that one and get back to you? I'll let Jenna next week.
Tune in.
Yeah.
Same time next week, people, for an answer to this Egyptology question.
Damn, great question.
Okay. You got one last book on the deck there. Have we covered this one off?
Yes. No, one last book, Gavin Bishop, Treasury. And honestly, Gavin Bishop is a treasure himself. So it just is like a collection of stories, both from Aotearoa and from abroad, that kids would have grown up with like a new flourish, a new flair by Gavin Bishop. The illustrations are so, so cool. And if you're looking for something like special for a grandchild or, I don't know, like your friend's kid, I mean, all of the stories are about 10 pages, which I think parents kind of love
as well.
Great
for reading to your kids.
Great for reading to your kids. And probably something that I reckon would be held on to for a very long time. But yeah, I think that's like my pile sort of done. Yeah.
Of recommendations. All right. Hey, Siri from Timeout. Thank you so much.
If people want
to come and grab something, Timeout. What are the hours of Timeout? 7 days a week?
7 days a week, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. And I mean, like, not to sound too corny, but truly, like, giving someone the gift of a book for Christmas is also kind of gifting, like, your independent bookstore, you know? I think that it's doing something really special. You're keeping money in the community. There's so many great books out from like authors in Aotearoa. I think our New Zealand fiction table has been popping off and we love giving recommendations. We'll gift wrap for free. We offer exchanges. So please, please come in, make use of us. That's what we're here for. And we're open late, so you have no excuse.
Excellent. Hey, thank you, Suri, and thank you, Time Out Bookstore. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. Bye.
That was Loose Reads.